from the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of June, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets. Kurt Kimmel, a senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities, will join us from his office in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, the Obama administration has had a hard time finding a candidate to fill the USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety position. The head of the WTO is calling out a clear and present danger from protectionistic tendencies, and the CME is expanding the overnight trade an additional hour and 15 minutes. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories later in this half hour. And then I'll bring the hog producers out there some good advice on how to control the high costs of feed inputs. And don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast, and it all happens right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day in the red. Nearby July contract 25 cents lower for the wheat at $5.98. September in the wheat at 6.26, down 25, and December contract 24.5 cents lower at 6.51.5 for the soft red. Hard red July at 6.52.75 in Kansas City, down 22.25. Back at the CME Group in Chicago, nearby July corn, $4.35, 9 cents lower. September at 4.44.75, down 9.25. And December at 4.58, 9.5 cents lower. The March at 4.69.25, down 9 cents. And the May down 8.75 at 4.76.75. July soybeans up 7 cents, $12.32.5 the settlement price. The rest of the pit was lower. August contract at 11.66.5, down a nickel. September 10.96, down 5. And November beans a dime lower at $10.51.75. January at 10.58.5, down 8.75. July meal 5.70 higher at 4.01.70. July oil at 39.40 in the products, down 33 cents. June live cattle futures 79.42.5. 72.5 cents lower for the day. August feeders at 95.85, down 77.5. And the June lean hog futures 57.57.5, 40 cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. July crude oil futures at $68.60 a barrel, up 16 cents. July ethanol, $1.74.2, up 2.3 of a cent. The natural gas trading the nearby, 13 cents higher at $3.73.7. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.94 even, down a penny and 3/10. July heating oil futures, that's diesel fuel, up 4/10 at $1.77.4. And the propane trading the August contract at $85.5, or rather 85.5 cents. That's 7/10 of a cent lower. Gold futures, June contract, $951.70, down $10. The Dow off 90 points at 86.73. That's down 90. And the U.S. dollar at 80.9 is up 0.24 for the day. The CRB index now stands at 256.36. That's down 1.56 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like at this hour. In the west, central, and northern parts of Illinois, it's calling for partly cloudy skies this evening. In the east, central parts of Illinois and northern Indiana, showers and thunderstorms, they'll diminish over the evening. Partial clearing after midnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 50 in the north to 68 in the southeastern parts of Indiana this evening. Tomorrow in the south, partly to mostly cloudy, occasional showers, a few thunderstorms, mainly early in the day. Elsewhere, mostly sunny. Highs will range tomorrow from around 70 near Lake Michigan to 86 in the far south. And the extended forecast is our own Mike Sola. An active weather pattern and excessive rainfall will continue to slow planting and field work across Illinois and Indiana this week. Southern and central locations will be the wettest with 2 to 4 inches of rainfall.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon, and we always talk with the folks at Bates Commodities and Kurt Kimmel in particular. He serves as their senior grains analyst and is on the line with us from their Bloomington Normal office this afternoon. Hi, Kurt. How are you?
Good. Good afternoon, Todd.
Did you have a busy and a wet weekend?
Wet weekend? We got rained out, believe it or not. We're supposed to be up in Pontiac, and for some reason, the old thundercloud went right over that diamond there.
Oh, yeah. We went to Shelbyville and played there on Saturday and Sunday, and we got five games in over the weekend. There was lots of good competition down there. It was a lot of fun. Hey, and I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that area, too, because that's a magnificent area, great farmland in the area. I went the back way from Champaign to Shelbyville, which entails going through Cisco, so you go towards Decatur and then pretty much straight south. And I've got to tell you, from Cisco to Dalton City across there is just wet, and it doesn't look like that they've got maybe 50% of their corn crop in, and I don't know how many of the beans they have in. They were running like a son of a gun on Saturday morning when I went through at 9 o'clock, and you could tell who had auto steer. They were still out there at about 9:30, 10 o'clock at night when I came back that evening, too. But they're way behind. That's a tough area to be in. And I suppose there are a few other areas around the states that are like that, too. What are you hearing?
Yeah, there's some pockets here and there. Not only here in Illinois, there's other parts of the country struggling, too. It's estimated there's probably about 4 million acres of corn still to be planted yet. So we'll see what this afternoon's planting progress shows. As a nation, expected 95 to 97% of the corn crop to be in the ground. We'll see the state breakdown here. We're eventually seeing producers physically switch over from corn to beans. It'll be interesting to see if those totals are going to be updated here at the end of the month on the June acreage report, but corn going in this late is going to have everything perfect from here on out, Todd.
No, perfect, and apparently in Chicago and some places else around the globe where everybody happens to be sitting at their desk, think that might be the case in the rainfall that's actually coming in. While it's hurting those farmers in that have not gotten planted, there seems to be, and it sounds awful early, but maybe not, a rain makes grain kind of attitude that's hitting the marketplace.
We're hearing that drum beating here over the last few trading days. However, though, that, you know, is not going to be the case here in the Eastern Belt. Even the Western Belt needed rain. They received rain. It's going to help their crop out tremendously, but they're going to have record yields to bring up the shortfall in the Eastern Belt. So the art of the trading is going to come in on trying to put some type of yield on the crop. A lot of the trade will be watching the good to excellent category readings, then monitor that to try to put a yield on it. As a nation, you know, like I mentioned there, the Eastern Belt's going to pull the average down somewhat, so we'll see how it goes. But the USDA's going to have, or the WASDE numbers are going to be out here on Wednesday morning. That'll
right.
be our first estimate on what their benchmark is.
Well, which ones will you be watching in particular on that?
As far as the numbers in general, probably the old crop bean
right.
carryout estimate, that's going to be where the fireworks are. It'll confirm whether or not the bull spread will continue, whether or not we need to move higher here to ration remaining inventory. But the most exciting numbers that will be a longer-term factor will be what type of yield we see on the crop estimates. Acreage is going to fluctuate here as we go into June and July, but the yield is going to be the one that's going to move the bottom line the most. For example, we're going to see probably more bean acres. If we would see an additional 2 million bean acres, the bottom line on beans, keeping demand the same, carryout could raise to 315 million bushels. And everybody interprets that as a little bit negative. But however, though, if you increase those bean acres by 2 million acres and you take yield down to 40 million or 40 bushels to the acre, you take yield down 2 bushels the acre, all of a sudden we lose 115 million bushels just like that, and carryout could drop down to 115 million bushels on this new crop carryout. So, or 215 million bushels. So
right.
It's going to be real touchy in here as far as what type of yield forecast is the on this Wednesday morning's report here. Same thing in corn. You should take 5 bushels up, 5 bushels down. You can move that bottom line quite quickly.
Well, what do you think about this corn market at this point in new crop sales in particular? How comfortable are you? Are you still making them? We're in the December at 458. Lots of folks were 450 and better, make some sales up 10 to 20%. Where do you stand? What do you think?
Yeah, we like, using the strength here to get sales as we go. That's a tough question because everybody's different. Whether you have crop revenue insurance or not is a big factor, how aggressive you can get, whether you're comfortable doing the cash or the futures or the options. But we've been using this rally here to get to where we want to be. We like being up to at least 30-50% forward price at these levels. Our next goal is the $5 level basis December futures and 525. Continue to use a scale-up approach. We found that's been the most successful because whenever we do roll over, the market very rarely gives us a second opportunity to sell. But there's various different ways you can go on this. Some like, selling it all here and buying some calls to replace it. Yeah, that's fine. Some like buying 100% put coverage and stay open in the cash. We feel something needs to be done here to manage risk because if the dollar follows through here this week and records a major low and moves higher, the market will move lower.
Well, I've got another question on that. Last week on Monday, we had a discussion, and I asked you a question about how much higher or how when the move higher might break, and you actually had a date in mind on that. And then on Wednesday afternoon, I got a phone call. I don't know whether it was a farmer or not. I assume it was. Wanting to know whether he could go back and listen to you on your Monday podcast, and he didn't have the podcast in. So I taught him how to do that, and then I was thinking about what it was he was looking for. And my guess is that he was looking for the advice that you had given on what that date was going to be. It happened to be on Wednesday, and it broke really hard. Can you do the same thing again this week?
for $9.99.
All right. Well, is there anything else before I let you go for the afternoon?
Still like this meat complex. Meat complex is, as far as long term, that is. I don't like the price action of the meat complex. It's we spent quite a bit of time talking about that on Monday afternoon there and all week long. The concern was hog liquidation. We heard quite a bit about that. As an investor, we feel that we're recording some major lows here on liquidation of the livestock herd here in the U.S. We feel we've probably got another 2 to 3 weeks of downside pressure in the meat complex. But if you're one that's got a freezer that's starting to get empty, we recommend filling up here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Good consumer advice. Thanks much.
Very good.
All right. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us on the Closing Mark Report each and every Monday.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Well, if you haven't tried our phone system yet, you can't hear us on the radio or just happen to miss it and can't get to the podcast or the website at willag.org, how about this number, 333-3434. Here's Dave with the news.
Secretary Tom Vilsack says that President Barack Obama has not nominated an Agriculture Department Undersecretary for Food Safety because the administration has had a hard time finding a candidate who has not engaged in lobbying. Vilsack says the administration wants to follow its own rule, quote, to make sure people haven't had lobbying experience and is thoroughly vetting all candidates. USDA handles food safety for meat, poultry, and eggs, and the Undersecretary for Food Safety sets policy and handles international food safety relations. U.S. Trade Representative officials pledged last Friday to aggressively defend U.S. regulations on country of origin meat labels now that Canada and Mexico are contesting the policy. Canada and Mexico appeared to have accepted the U.S. labeling law until U.S. Department of Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack made changes to it, calling for more information on labels and tighter controls on inventory products. Both Canada and Mexico have filed for consultations with the World Trade Organization, the first step in an official complaint. The head of the World Trade Organization today called on nations to resist protectionistic tendencies and said good progress is being made toward relaunching the stalled Doha round of free trade talks. Speaking in Bali, Indonesia, where trade ministers from 19 agricultural exporting countries are meeting in an effort to spur global trade, WTO Director General Pascal Lamy says that officials were looking for an agreement to provide necessary political energy to restart the Doha round. And CME Group says that it is expanding electronic trading hours for grains, oilseeds, and ethanol contracts starting July 1st. The trading will be expanded by an hour and 15 minutes and end at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. It currently starts at 7 p.m. Sunday through Thursday, ending at 7 a.m. the following morning. The expansion applies to futures and options for corn, wheat, soybeans, soy meal, rice, oats, and ethanol contracts. Traders say they expect that CME will continue to expand hours further. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. Now, up next, you know a nutritionist at the University of Illinois says there are three things hog producers can do to improve the economics of feed cost. I'll have more on that story. The OVI, in cooperation with the Illinois Pork Producers Association, has been working hard to help hog farmers around the state and the Midwest work their way through some very tough times. Part of that mission includes a new website with cost-saving tips and lectures. Hans Stein is featured there. You can find it by visiting ilpork.com. He's a University of Illinois nutritionist and says there are three primary considerations to improving feed profitability. They are using alternative feed ingredients, improving feed conversion rates, and not overformulating diets. Stein says producers in the Midwest have long fed corn and soybean meal, but must now consider alternative feed sources.
There are four different types of alternative ingredients. We have intact ingredients, and those would be other crops that are grown in the U.S. Other than corn and soybean meal. We have field peas, we have barley, we have sorghum, we have oats, and we have wheat, and we have other ingredients. All of these ingredients are great for swine and can be used whenever they are available at competitive prices. The second group we have are processed ingredients. And processed ingredients would include distillers dried grains with solubles or DDGS and other co-products from the ethanol industry. It would be wheat middlings, it would be meat and bone meal, poultry meal, molasses, whey, and many other products. The processed ingredients in general are more variable in composition than the intact ingredients, but in particular, the co-products from the ethanol industry are available in great quantities, and they are very economical to use.
The other alternative feed types come from local industries. One of them is called rest products. These are things like pet food, cookie dough, and buns, all of which, for one reason or another, did not meet spec requirements. The last group is a related list, but are termed byproducts from other industries. It includes things like old bread from supermarkets and restaurant offal.
Before anyone goes into feeding alternative feed ingredients, there are some key questions that you need to ask yourself. First of all, can you handle one or two or three extra ingredients? And can you handle the ingredients in the form they are delivered? Many producers have only one bin for corn and one bin for soybean meal connected to their grinding operation. And if you want more ingredients, you need to have more bins installed and they need to be hooked up to the grinding and mixing facility. So that's the first thing that you need to find out. Is it economical to invest in new equipment if you have to handle more ingredients?
The second question is whether or not it's possible to handle quality control related to alternative feedstuffs. This might include paying for a nutrient analysis and the expertise to reformulate rations to handle the different nutrient load. Those wanting to learn more from Hans Stein about alternative feed sources, improving feed conversion rates, and not over-formulating diets should visit ilpork.com and look for the link to Managing Pigs in Tough Times web series. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain markets. And Greg Johnson of the Andersons, right here in Champaign County, joins us today. Hi, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, tell me about our area. Any cash movement of corn, or farmers still too busy trying to figure out whether they can get in the fields?
I think we've seen very limited movement here just in the last week. We did see some good movement as corn and beans made some nine-month highs in the previous couple of weeks, and I think some farmers, or most farmers, have gotten sold what they wanted to get sold now, and now they're waiting to see how the crops that they are just now getting planted, how they emerge, and what kind of start we get off to before they make any more sales.
And then as you take a look at the marketplace, do you think more sales are in line, especially in corn? There's lots of talk at the 450 and above level that they ought to be selling, although most of them will cap that at 10, 20, 25% of the crop.
Yeah, I think we will see some more sales once farmers feel confident that we're off to a good start. I think, you know, we have to remember back to last year, and we had almost $8 corn at about this time. I think the high came around June 24th, June 27th last year. And by the time November rolled around, those futures no longer had a 7 in front of them. They had a 3, and in fact, they were in the low 3s. So even the most bullish year, the markets have highs and lows, and I think we need to take advantage when we're at these kind of levels.
Finally, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 438. New crop corn, 430. Cash beans, 1257. New beans, 1022. And new crop wheat, 528.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us on the Closing Market Report. Each and every Monday afternoon, you can listen to him again if you'd like at willag.org. In 2 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the agricultural weather forecast.
It's National Donut Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1848, Franklin Hiram King was born, an American agricultural scientist. He was the inventor of the cylindrical tower silo. He also invented a gravity system of ventilation for dairy barns that was widely used until electric-powered blowers became commonly available. King was a giant in agriculture. He also studied soil physics, including water-holding capacities, moisture requirements of plants, aeration, movement of water in soils, and soil fertility. He also conducted the first year-long study of power generated by farm windmills. In 1859, Walter Hunt died. Hunt invented the first safety pin in 1849. It was made out of a piece of brass wire about 8 inches long, coiled at the center and shielded at one end. In 1908, the UN National Conservation Commission was formed by President Theodore Roosevelt. The commission prepared the first inventory of the natural resources of the U.S., including water, forests, lands, and minerals. And in 1992, the UN Environmental Agency was formed and adopted a 300-page plan for achieving sustainable development in the 21st century. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from L&M Commodities, a full-service brokerage company serving area farmers with professional market advice and crop insurance products. L&M Commodities has offices in New Market, Indiana, Leland, Illinois, and Terrell, Arkansas.
Folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago are not available this afternoon. We do have the forecast from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight in the west central and northern parts of Illinois should become partly cloudy this evening. In east central Illinois and northern Indiana, showers, a few thunderstorms. They'll diminish this evening, partial clearing after midnight. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, a few showers and thunderstorms. Mike says lows will range this evening from 50 in the north to 68 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. And then tomorrow in the south, partly to mostly cloudy skies with occasional showers, a few thunderstorms. Those may mainly early in the day. Elsewhere, mostly sunny, highs will range from around 70 near Lake Michigan to 86 in the far south, says Mr. Sola. And then the extended forecast says an active weather pattern and excessive rainfall will continue to slow planting and field work across Illinois and Indiana this week. Southern and central locations will be the wettest with 2 to 4 inches of rainfall. And most river basins, he says, and drainage areas will remain in flood stage, and the risk of localized field flooding will impact some central and southern locations through the week, so don't expect those drown-out areas to start draining away very soon. They may fill back up, and temperatures should tend to be near average, says Mr. Sola. Slightly below average, though, for a portion of this week. And that's a look at the weather forecast for the two-state region. If you'd like to listen to the WILL AM 580 and other radio programming content on the ag issues, you can always do that at our willag.website. It's WILLAG.org. This is a production, of course, of Illinois Public Media. From the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois, on our website, you can find and download MP3 files of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. It's our flagship look at the weekly programming, and we put four analysts in studio, three in studio, and one on the line with us, and talk to them about the marketplace on Commodity Week. It's an awfully good program. If you haven't listened to that one before, go to willag.org and sign up to have it downloaded to your computer automatically as a podcast, or just listen to it right there under the Commodity Week tab. It's about halfway down the page at willag.org. A couple of other notes. We have an awfully good weekend newsletter that Dave Dickey, the director of ag programming for Illinois Public Media, writes. And you can subscribe and unsubscribe and fill in and manage your own podcast or weekend newsletter account there at willag.org. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. Please do that if you'd like as well. And thanks for listening to the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon. We'll be back again tomorrow at 6 after the hour of 2 o'clock Central Time on many of these stations. A few of them broadcast us a bit later, and we'll be there with you then, too. Have a great afternoon. Get into the field if you can, and stay dry. I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.